Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Good morning, Pensacola. I gotta love the music in between the breaks. And this is John Peacock, Phil, and Andrew, J.C. Costantino filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio Pensacola. We are so happy to be here today. It's still dark outside. We're enjoying the we got through the first hour without any paper cuts. J.C., we did okay. Didn't hurt anybody, I don't think.
I think we did pretty great. We might be asked back eventually.
I don't know. John's got that look on his face. I'm not too sure. How'd we do the first hour, John?
Wonderful. Great.
We didn't hurt anybody.
Riveting.
Hopefully, Dave.
No paper cuts. I'd love that.
Yeah. Hopefully, Mary and Dave didn't hear the. Maybe they're not quite up yet. But anyway, like I said, maybe a couple times last hour, we really give them a lot of credit for bringing Cat Country and News Radio here. There's so much activity in the community to all the things that they do for Pensacola. We're just really blessed to have them here. JC, this next hour, we're going to have Craig Fair, who's the chief market strategist for Ever Jones, talk. But let's talk a little bit about, we just had an election this year and
yes,
a lot of nervousness about what the Trump administration is going to bring. It's funny that you and I both talked to a lot of people, and it's kind of funny when people say, oh my gosh, what's going to happen under Trump? Well, this is take two. Right?
This is take two. A lot of people act like we have no idea who he is, what he will do, what he has done, and we do. We have a great example from his last tenure as president.
Yeah, and obviously, depending on what side of the aisle you're on, it wasn't horrible. Obviously, there's missteps in every administration, but I think it's been pretty clear what President Trump intends to do. And, that's the consequence of elections, right? And I hope that I think most of us, especially in the Pensacola area, and I think most around the country, we're probably more centrist than, far right and far left. And I'm hoping that somewhere along the lines, both parties start kind of moving a little bit more towards the center. And so far in President-elect Trump's rhetoric, and at least his talk, it's been a little more moderated this time than last time, and hopefully that'll continue. There is a lot of consternation, if you will, JC, about the tariffs and those kind of things. But
yes,
you remember the first administration, there was a lot of talk about tariffs then, and what happened?
Nothing.
Yeah. There was a little bit, right? A little bit of tariffs, but President Trump has been known to be a fairly decent negotiator, and I think that it's kind of widely known that he's using these tariff things as much more of a negotiating ploy. And I'm not sure how effective it is when everybody knows it's a negotiating ploy. But I think the odds of these widespread tariffs that he's talked about are pretty slim, because there are some negative effects to the economy. But, in general, I think there's different ways to raise revenue. And we have to do that in this country, because certainly we have just a wee bit of debt that we are leaving for our children and grandchildren. And certainly we have to address that at some point.
Yeah, and I'd like to talk some specifics on tariffs. One of the things he's mentioned is, overall imports, 10-20% tariff tax on everything coming in, 50-60% for China. And the large concern people have is that would raise the price of our day-to-day goods that we have, that would be potentially on the pockets of American citizens. But even though he's looking at being able to bring in an extra $2 trillion, if you're looking at the 10-20%, and then over $3 trillion, if he taxes China 50-60%. So I think that's the main concern for people, is what is it going to do for their day-to-day goods that they get, everything from clothing to electronics to food goods that come in from overseas.
Yeah, and a lot of CEOs are certainly pushing to kind of moderate or mitigate some of the tariff talk. But, I think one of the longer-term strategies is trying to get companies to invest here. Instead of having imports being taxed with tariffs, then if you build it here, there's no tariffs, right? So I think there's some long-term strategy, or if you're a George Bush fan, strategery, in President-elect Trump's discussions there. And so I do think it makes sense. There was just an article the other day in the Journal that the SoftBank CEO, they're going to invest 100 $1 billion with this country in the Trump administration. So I think there's a lot of things that positive that could happen there, but certainly there's some anxiousness and nervousness associated with that. And I think we just have to be cautious. The great thing about that form of government is the president necessarily can't do it all on his own. There's got to be some congressional oversight and diligence. And I think that there's going to be some pretty good action there in terms of debate and discussion on tariffs, and we'll see how that plays out.
I mean, it would be wonderful for us to have more production and businesses in the U.S. The timeline of that, how long that takes, I don't know, but it would be really great to have that and production here.
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll continue that thought here in just a second. Right now, we're going to go to John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
Got to turn it on. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looking like I-10, I-110, even Highway 90 from Pace to Pensacola is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Sarah, it's been ages. How are things?
Hey, Lisa. Things are okay, I guess. Things with Mark haven't felt the same lately.
Oh, Sarah, that is so common. It could just be ED or low testosterone.
Really? I didn't even think about that. I was blaming myself.
Yeah, Jim had ED and low T. I thought I was doing something wrong, but it's just a medical condition. Now he's passionate about his job again, lost a little weight, and even put on some muscle since he went to Wave Men's Health. They specialize in ED and low T treatments, and you should see the way he looks at me now.
Wave Men's Health delivers powerful, personalized treatments to reignite the passion in your relationship, even if other pills and treatments haven't done the job. Don't let ED or low T put a damper on what should be the best time of the year.
I forgot how we used to feel. I got my husband back.
Dial 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today and rekindle the magic, because you both deserve to feel the joy this season brings. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Hey, if you've got a leak or a drip or a weird sound in the wall when you flush the toilet, or the water temperature or the water pressure is not good, call Barbary Plumbing. They can fix it for you. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes, including fixing the fixes that you fixed badly. Guilty. 477-8782. They were great for Barbary Plumbing.
We're sharing more than ever before during the 2024 Subaru Share the Love event. Now through January 2nd, when you purchase or lease a new Subaru, Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities: the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $250 to Subaru's donation. And for every routine Subaru vehicle service visit, Anderson Subaru will donate $5 more to the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association. So far, we've donated over $175,000 to help fight breast cancer in Pensacola. Get a great vehicle and support a great cause at the Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation for new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share. For details.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate: managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS certified PEO, Avalon HR can help, from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you we could help you reach your audience while they're at a sporting event? Let ADX Digital help you connect to your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with us today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
morning and welcome back, Pensacola. This is John Peacock along with J.C. Costantino. We're filling in for Andrew McKay, and we're going to kick it over right now to David Wayne in the newsroom with some headlines.
Sure. Well, good morning. The man accused of killing the CEO of a major health insurance company is now being charged with murder and terrorism. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office said on Tuesday that Luigi Mangione is now being charged with one count of first-degree murder in furtherance of terrorism and two counts of second-degree murder. One person has died. Nine others were hurt in a shooting in Maryland. Authorities are calling it a mass shooting. Police say it happened in a suburb of Baltimore last night. When they arrived at the scene, they found a vehicle on its side and in flames. Multiple victims were also found. And boy, the news has been all about the drones the last week or two. Members of the House Intelligence Committee getting a classified briefing about recent drone activity yesterday. The FBI, CIA, National Intelligence Agency all gave reports at Tuesday's briefing, and lawmakers said that they were reassured that nothing nefarious was going on now. So I guess no explanation, but nothing nefarious.
Nothing. There's never anything nefarious when you're talking about Washington, D.C., right? There was a great article yesterday, David, in the Wall Street Journal about underwater drones being used now for, counter-terrorism kind of things. And, you know, our military is using that. CIA is using that. I mean, pretty soon there's going to be drones here, there, and everywhere.
They're all over in the air, in the water. Can't get away from them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I do think somebody mentioned that if it's really some nefarious activity, would they light it up and put all kinds of lights? Yeah, probably not, right? So it's probably some recreational thing.
I saw some Christmas lights on a few of them.
Christmas lights, yes, yeah. Yes. So, yeah, you know, China's probably a little smarter than that if they're really going to use those. But, you know, Jason, we were talking about President-elect Trump's the tariffs and stuff, and we mentioned during the break that, you know, they did have a few last term as he was president, but, you know, targeted for sure. But people tend to panic, right? Because as you mentioned, you know, prices will probably go higher if he imposes a lot of tariffs. So, I don't think there's a whole lot to think about or to worry about. There are articles like there always are. People are panicking. They're stocking up on certain goods they think that might be taxed with tariffs, et cetera. But I think it's probably a tad bit of overreaction.
Yeah, and, you know, from his last presidency, Chinese products that had tariffs added were aluminum, steel, semiconductors, and electric cars, and those remained in place or even increased during the Biden presidency.
No way. I mean, even though that administration, they always talk so bad about another administration, they kept those policies in place. Amazing.
They did, and
so, yeah, you know, and I think the result of that, you saw some people move some activity here, right? The ultimate goal, I think, of tariffs, in addition to raising some revenue, is to move jobs here, right? Because if those jobs and things are created here, then they're not going to tax those. There's no imports, right? So I think that, you know, it's certainly a strategy. We'll see how it works. It should be interesting. As I mentioned, the SoftBank chief, President-elect Trump, visited him, and they promised $100 billion investment, which, in D.C., they talk about $100 billion, $100 billion here, $100 billion there, act like it's not real money. But to me, that's
pocket
pretty
change.
Real. That's pretty real money. But they talked about putting that kind of investment in during the Trump second term. So, you know, if that's what the result of tariffs is, that's a good thing, right? So people are going to make more products here and hopefully increase jobs and overall income.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing for me is as long as we're moving in a direction where jobs are increasing, pay is increasing to offset the potential for any increases in price on those day-to-day products, you know, that is, you know, the biggest thing for me. And we want to keep growing our workforce, having people trained in future technology and the shift that is happening within manufacturing processes and pretty much all of them right now with AI and, software, et cetera.
Yeah, we've become much more of a service economy over the past couple decades. And I think it's important to kind of, because we shift a lot of those manufacturing jobs overseas. So I think it's nice to have a balanced economy. And I think that's the ultimate goal of those folks that are kind of pro tariff in a way, is to bring those things back. And, you know, we're going to bring on Craig Fair here in about 15 minutes or so to talk about the economy and what's happening with the market in 2024 and what kind of we expect things to happen in 2025. And there's articles all over the place that, you know, people think that market could do, have another banner year.
Yes.
Having done this for a long time, I'm a little bit more pessimistic than that. We have back to back to back in years. But, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to hear what Craig says, and we'll talk a little bit more before, during, and after, and kind of what we've learned through our travels to different conferences and listening to different speakers and those kind of things, and what we think the impact of some of these Fed rate cuts, which they're supposed to cut again today, and we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But we're excited about having Craig on. He's a tremendous speaker. We had him here a month or so ago to talk to some folks and did an outstanding job. So we'll pause there for a second and go to John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about that. John, what you got?
No new accidents to let you know about right now.
Should we create some just to give you something to talk about?
No. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, but if you're traveling on Highway 29 going southbound, well, actually northbound, you'll see some delays right around the Airport Boulevard entrance there. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
And I think, you know, seems like I-10 now has been that perennial, always under construction kind of road, right? So
yes,
I know people that live out that way and commute that way or go on I-10, they have to kind of pick and choose their spots these days.
I have much to say about this topic, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead, bring it
so
on.
Yeah. We have in Beulah, where I live, what's called the Beulah Scoop. And it's a Facebook page, and people can talk about their businesses in Beulah. They can talk about their issues, whatever that may be. And I am notorious for posting on the Beulah Scoop when I am sitting in the bottleneck that happens now with the construction. And heaven forbid there is an accident or two or three. It has taken me some days an hour and 20 minutes to get from my home in Beulah to my office on Tarragona Street. So I post quite often, oh my goodness, who came up with this plan right now? And why couldn't we have put in a temporary road somewhere? Not that you can do that, but it's a mess sometimes.
Yeah, well, maybe Mayor Reeves can fix it. Just kidding. He's not the mayor of that area. But no, I think that at the end of the day, that 29 interchange is going to be much better. To accommodate some of the growth we've seen in that part of our community. But boy, in the meantime, it certainly creates a little bit of a mess.
Those growing pains.
It just seems like, you know, I growing up in the Philadelphia, I remember around the airport, I don't ever remember a time there weren't the orange traffic cones. And remember for years, Highway 29, from kind of I-10 all north, it was always under construction.
Oh yeah,
just forever it seemed like.
When they did 9 Mile Road in front of Navy Federal.
Yeah,
that was like 4 years.
Yeah, it just seems like it takes a long time. But the end result, we kind of forget that pain, and every result looks pretty good. But
it takes
a little bit to get there for sure.
And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just, you know.
Well, it's 6:30 in the morning. You know,
facts are facts.
Talking
I mean,
about the Beulah Scoop and all the negative stuff on there. But it is social media certainly has provided those outlets for people to kind of vent a little bit, which is probably good.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to traffic.
I'm not just yelling out my window at people.
Yeah, that's not. But you probably shouldn't be filling out the Beulah Scoop. Well, maybe you're stopped dead in traffic, but certainly not while you're moving, right? So.
Oh, no.
Never.
I let AI do it.
Yeah. So we're continuing to talk a little bit about the economy and the Fed, and we'll get Craig Fair on here in about 10 minutes or so. But, you know, the Federal Reserve is fully expected to cut interest rates today, another quarter point, which, as David pointed out in one of the headlines, that's, it'll make a full point since they started cutting rates. And, you know, the general consensus is it'll probably be a place where we stop for a moment, kind of see how things are going. Cause, you know, the concerns about tariffs, the concerns about interest rate cuts is inflation, reigniting that inflation. And we'll, if we don't get a chance to talk to Craig about this, we'll certainly talk amongst ourselves, JC, about, you know, when people talk about cutting interest rates, what interest rates are being cut and how's that being impacted on everything else. Again, elections have consequences. We're going to see what the result of this one is, and there'll be some maneuvering on both sides to kind of make sure they continue to stay in power. But I'm kind of excited. You know, if you look at where we've been, if we can continue that momentum in the economy and do some good things, hopefully create some additional jobs and keep this thing running. You know, the business cycle used to be about 4 or 5 years, where we go from expansion peak, recession trough. Now it seems very elongated.
Yes.
That we have a much, much longer business cycle these days, and I don't know if that'll continue. Not really sure what the causes of that are. Could be productivity gains and those kind of things. And the Fed really has done a pretty decent job of managing through this. I think most people thought we were going to have a pretty hard landing after after they started raising rates, but they managed to have a soft landing.
Agreed, it has.
So it's been pretty nice that we've been able to kind of manage through this inflation thing, and I think a lot of credit goes to the Fed. You know, some of the inflation issues that we had were certainly not caused all by the administration. We started raising pay kind of where there should have been all along. You know, John, for years, minimum wage was set, you know, back in the day, $7 an hour. Now it's up to, you know, $15-$20 an hour, which kind of where it should be. You know, it's still, as Teresa pointed out, that kind of wages are not that great, right? It's hard to live off of even $20 an hour is only $40,000 a year. And that's, you know, barely above the poverty rate. You throw a couple kids in there and it makes it tough for sure. So again, this is John Peacock and J.C. Costantino filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 1620.
Gianna Gelosi, an alert about a missing radioactive equipment is sparking new theories about the drone mystery over New Jersey.
An alert from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that was issued earlier this month. They said a material event, a missing piece of standard medical equipment, contained a, quote, less than Cat 3 level of radioactive material.
That's Fox's Kevin Cork. There was a closed-door briefing on the drones yesterday on the Hill. Lawmakers have to move quickly to pass a massive bill to fund the government through March 14th, and they have to do so by Friday ahead of the government shutdown deadline.
The 1,500-page bill also includes a whopping $100 billion for disaster and emergency funding, a health care package, and a one-year extension of the Farm Bill. But opposition is largely coming from Republicans.
That's Fox's Brooke Singman, America. Is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 62 degrees. It is cloudy this morning in Pensacola. The city is investing in pallet shelters to house the homeless. These are small shed-sized buildings which can be given out to area nonprofits that already help the homeless to increase.
Now able to go to these nonprofits and say, hey, you know, at no expense to you, you know, we might have to prep the site or something like that, but at no expense to you, we've just now increased your capacity so you can get people off the street.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division, for fun, Paul Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Clark Merritt at the Port of Pensacola wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hey, I'm Kirk Waters from Avalon HR. We want to wish all our friends in the Pensacola area a very happy holiday season.
Hey, this is Terrence Gross from Gross & Schuster wishing everybody a happy holiday season.
This is Darren Costello, Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, 8190 West Fairfield Drive, Pensacola, Florida, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola, welcome back to News Radio 92.3. This is John Peacock here with Jason Costantino this morning. We're going to jump right into John Pickens. What's going on with traffic, John?
Well, it's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly, not seeing any delays there. Also, 98 is looking good there also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Well, that's not very exciting. You know, we need a little bit more excitement in the traffic today. Come on, Pensacola, drive like you normally do. Pensacola has always been a crazy traffic place. Well, JC, I'm excited. Our next guest speaker is calling in now. And I want to welcome Craig Fair. He's the Edward Jones Chief Market Strategist, at least for another month or two, maybe. Craig, welcome this morning. You're here with JC and I on News Radio 92.3 here in Pensacola.
Good morning. It's good to be with you guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Very good, Craig. Very good. Didn't expect nothing less than you, even at 6:37 in the morning. Craig, we've had an interesting 2024. So why don't you give our listeners a little bit about what happened in 2024 from an economy standpoint and market, et cetera, and then maybe give us a little insight on what we think is going to happen in 2025.
Yeah, it's been a good year, as you said, and I think the setup from 24 puts us in a pretty good spot for 2025. If we take a quick jaunt back, it's interesting. Here we are about to close out the year. If we go back really to the first couple months of 2024, we were riding the momentum of what was a burgeoning rally coming into the year. And markets got a little confused, if we remember back, after that sharp rally coming into the year, markets got a bit confused by some hotter-than-expected inflation reports. And so we jump-started this anxiety again around, is the Fed done? Is the Fed going to have to push harder on the brake to clobber the economy in ultimate pursuit of driving inflation lower? That was really the narrative that started the year. We navigated that with some ease. And what we found is that the economy has proven to be pretty resilient. GDP growth after a weak start to the year really accelerated through much of 2024. That set a pretty good stage, obviously, for the financial markets, but set a good stage for corporate earnings. And I think that's really the momentum that we're going to ride into 2025. My sense is, I'm sure most investors are probably tired of the myopic focus on the Fed, but it's worthwhile. And my sense is that we're probably going to be right back in that mode for much of 2025, where markets now are accepting the fact that the economy is in a pretty good path. And the big question mark is going to be, do we see some renewed sense of inflation that maybe disrupts this this phase of optimism we've been in, where there's a lot of excitement about the economy doing well. There's some excitement about the Fed backing off of the brake with rate cuts, which is very apropos for today, given that we're going to get another Fed announcement today. So all that is to say, John and JC, I think it's obvious that we had a great year in 2024 as the stock market as a measure. And I think 2025 can be another pretty solid year. I think what we will not repeat in the year ahead is the level of calm and low volatility that we saw this year.
Well, that's exciting, Craig. Thanks for that good news. I do think it's important, Craig, give us a little bit of sense for what's normal, right? And what's normal now in terms of points and how that might be perceived in the media and how that might affect investor mentality. And you know, because when you a 5-10% drops aren't kind of what they used to be, so to speak. So talk about that a little bit so our listeners kind of understand some of the things like you mentioned, maybe a little more volatility, but what does that really mean when they're watching their TV at night and looking at their portfolios?
Yeah, there's that old Mike Tyson quote, right, that gets overused, but it's everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And I think for investors, especially in the midst of a really strong bull market, it's easy to forget what the other side of that looks like, and it's really easy to abandon your plan and abandon your resolve even when things get a little more tumultuous. So, John, to your point, let's talk about what normal is. And you both know this quite well, which is that normal, if we just use historical averages as an example, normal would be we get about 3-5% dips and 1-10% correction per year on average. Now, we didn't get one in 2024. I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're not going to get one here in the last handful of days. In the year, we had a 5% pullback and an 8% pullback this year. To your listeners, that might even come as a surprise. Because those were, while they emerged, they were quickly forgotten. Markets kind of rallied off of the bottom of those. But I think that's something, the expectation of that level of volatility can be quite useful for investors. It's not that you have to brace and prepare and worry about a rainy day, but if you know it's coming, it's a lot like watching a scary movie the second time around, right? You jump a little bit less when somebody pops out of the bushes, and I think If investors have those realistic expectations about what pullbacks look like, both in terms of magnitude and frequency, it makes them a little less likely to cause a knee-jerk reaction from investors. So I think it's reasonable going into 25 that we probably can get one of those more normal-looking 10% pullbacks. And the outcome for investors is really, what do you do in reaction to that? Do you lean into it? Do you deviate from your plan? I know John and JC, you guys are absolute pros, best of the best in terms of helping investors put that into the perspective of their long-term goals and make proper decisions. And I think if we go back to where we started the conversation, I think if and when those pullbacks emerge in the year ahead, I think investors can be confident leaning into them, right? What we want to avoid is the 10% correction that becomes the 20% plus bear market. Those are the painful dips to lean into. But in the throes of what looks like a good economy, rising corporate profits, and a Fed that is not going to be overly restrictive, I think pullbacks can be looked at as opportunities.
Yeah, and Craig, I think it's important for people to, 5 to 10%, that doesn't scare anybody, but 2,250 points to 4,500 points scares people, right? So I think it's important for people to realize, 10% from 45,000 on the Dow is 4,500 points. And I think you'll correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure, but back in October 87, when the market dropped 22% one day, that was only like 508 points. So the magnitude of a 10% drop now, which is still just 10%, looks a lot scarier when they're talking about it on the evening news or on your newspaper.
It's a great perspective, and I can remember, John, you'll remember this, boy, years ago, I'm dating myself here, but many moons ago, we authored a report here at Edward Jones titled 100 Dow Points Isn't What It Used to Be, and it is the perspective, and we do all still talk in Dow Points. I think it's just an easier kind of arithmetic to think about. As you noted, it's percentages that matter most, certainly in terms of returns and driving toward longer-term financial goals. Here's a, I think those those type of perspectives, though, whether it's putting points in relation to percentages, you can think about what we're experiencing today. So the Dow is on a 9-day losing streak. It's an epic losing streak. If you just stopped there, it would feel like, boy, we're in a really bad spot. The Dow is less than 4% from its all-time high. So 9-day losing skid is only relevant when you put it in the context of it. It's only down slightly from all-time highs. I think it's those type of perspectives that can help investors be in a much better position to put performance in context, whether that's up performance or pullbacks, and then make the right decisions inside of those phases.
But the media, though, just blows that out of proportion.
Yeah, and Craig, if you don't mind holding just a minute or two, we're going to go to traffic on the fives with John Pickens, and it may be a quick commercial, and then we'll be right back to you.
All right, no accidents on the big board right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
All right, we're skipping a commercial. We're pushing off just for you, Craig. So I appreciate that. Yeah, as JC was mentioning, and the media kind of blows it out of proportion. One analogy I always like to talk about, Craig, is you know, car dealers, they never give a 5% rebate on a $60,000 car. They give a $3,000 rebate, right? Because nobody wants a 5% rebate, right? But people take $3,000 all day long. So I think the media tends to, the advertising tends to blow that out of proportion just a little bit. Craig, talk a little bit about tariffs. You know, we talked earlier in the hour about tariffs and the concerns people have about prices going up and the impact on inflation. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a great segue because, JC, you're absolutely right. In many cases, headlines and the media around, whether it's market pullbacks or, you know, bull market phases, can tend to distort and maybe cause overreactions if you just take those headlines at face value. And so I think, John, to your point, tariffs are obviously being smattered across lots of headlines today. And I think there is this natural reaction, if not connotation, to tariffs being categorically negative. I wouldn't push back wholesale on that because I do think that the tariffs can be extremely disruptive in their purest form. I think where the context has to come in is thinking about how they're actually going to be applied versus the theoretical side of this, right? So here's my view. I think President-elect Trump from day one has always in the back of his mind, and this is not new news, but in the back of his mind has probably always thought about these as the negotiating tool. And if we're being honest, it's a pretty good negotiating tool because the U.S. economy, not only the largest on planet Earth, but the most well-functioning at the moment. We've got lots of struggling economies from China to Germany to much of Europe across the board, and the U.S. economy is humming. And I think that tariffs are just that big stick that is able to be used to get better deals. Now, here's where this could go off the rails, because as we talked about in the earlier segment, inflation is going to be the linchpin here. As long as inflation continues to trend lower, the Fed can continue to let its foot off the brake. That unleashes the ability for the economy and corporate earnings to continue to grow. And that's the entire bull market narrative right there. And where that starts to get disrupted is if we see a reverb in inflation and the Fed has to rethink its approach that's embedded into stock and bond markets at the moment, all this gets thrown into a little bit of question. So the tariff conversation is critical. I think it's worth anchoring to two examples. There's the 2018 example of tariffs, the last time then President Trump was using this as a negotiating tool. It started as a trade war, and remember, 2018 was a volatile year. Started as trade war is going to emerge, and this is going to end in disaster. The outcome of that really was something much more muted. The tariffs were much more targeted, much more narrow in terms of their use. That was a benign outcome, and I don't think it's unreasonable to assume something maybe similar to that. The other side of the coin would be the last time we really saw tariffs create a full-blown trade war. That was in the 1930s, post the Great Depression. Every economy, including the U.S. economy and policymakers, were searching for ways to drive revenue after the economic downturn, and it did result in a retaliatory trade war around the globe, and global trade volumes fell by 60% at that time. So that's the really bad example. I don't think we get anything like that this time around, but I do think tariffs are very much worth paying attention to at this stage.
Well, thanks for that, Craig. Two other things I'd love for you to hit on before we have to let you go, but the people often talk. I know you just mentioned we had a 4% pullback, but people say, man, the market's an all time high. It's got to go down. There's no way it can continue to go up. In spite of the dips and corrections you mentioned, could the market continue to go dramatically higher? And also, one of the big concerns most people have, because they don't run a household the way Congress does, the debt. The debt's certainly an overhanging issue with all these things, the spending the Republicans and Democrats seem to want to do. How is all that going to play into things?
Two great points. So let's start with the bull market. Can this continue? The old adage of what goes up must come down, it doesn't always have to be fully applicable, but I do know this. John, I've heard you say this phrase many times, which is trees don't grow to the sky, and that's very true when it comes to markets. And I think as investors, look, we all should be very happy with the bull market that we're in the middle of. Markets up 27% this year. That's the second straight year we're going to be up more than 20%. Things are going well, and let's not look a gift horse in the mouth here, so to speak. I do think we are probably approaching a phase where complacency risks tipping into a bit of euphoria. Now, just to put some context around, the last time we saw just a full-blown stock market bubble where the gains went from being great to being punitive was what we all remember in the late 90s. We had five straight years where the stock market rose by more than 20% each year. An incredible run, and that is really the definition of a stock market bubble. We're a long way away from that, but I do think it's worth paying attention to because we're seeing so much of this momentum come from high valuation, high growth tech stocks, which does smack a little bit of the late 90s. I would just say we're a long way away from anything that looks like a bubble that has to pop and drive some sort of much more adverse outcome for markets. But I do think it's worth paying attention to because we've come a long way in a short amount of time. And so go back to our conversation, probably just reasonable to expect a little bit of pruning, a little bit of the shine to come off the markets periodically. I wouldn't expect that to be anything sustained or severe, but instead just more of those normal type of pullbacks. So if we think about the pullbacks, we talked about one of the catalysts being inflation that could maybe cause a rethink for the Fed. I think that's going to be a key focus. As you noted, though, John, debt is a real risk. We all think, as you noted, we all think of it in terms of household budgets, and that's a reasonable way to frame it. And then there's the government budget, which doesn't seem to have any law of physics or mathematics applied to it sometimes. I think it's an optimistic thing that we're seeing a little bit more of a sharp pencil be taken to the government budget. We know, where that's coming from in terms of the new Trump administration. Here's the way I would encourage your listeners maybe to think about government debt. It's the largest pile of debt on planet Earth when we think about U.S. federal debt. It has to be thought of in terms of relation to GDP. And no different the way we think about our own household budgets. How much are you going to borrow for a mortgage or for a car? That's all relative to how much income you have coming in the door to service that debt. And the good news here is, while the debt pile is large for the federal government, so is the amount of income that coming in through the form of GDP growth. So my view would be debt is a real risk. It's not a risk for this year. It's not even a risk for the next couple of years. It's a very credible risk for the next 10 to 20 years, which is going to require some challenging decisions. But growth is a powerful elixir here, and I wouldn't want that to be ignored. To the extent we can drive sustained growth in the economy, that is a really powerful offset to the threat of debt. So it's not a risk we're dismissing, but I would push back to not get overly concerned that this is something that's going to come to a head in the next year or two. It's really something that we're going to need to see policymakers address surgically and methodically over the next several years to push back that approaching chain of federal debt risk.
Well, Craig, I could listen to you all day. I know JC could too, and I'm sure our listeners could as well. Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning and supporting us. We really, really appreciate it and all you do for our clients and everybody in general. Thanks so much. I hope you have a wonderful holiday, Craig, and thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.
Truly my pleasure. You guys are the best of the best.
All right. Take care, Craig.
Have a great day.
All right. We're going to commercial. Got to pay the bills.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway Shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard. That's right, Bobby Likas Auto Service now has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. So keep your vehicles running smooth with their maintenance service program, and when your car or truck needs repairs, big or small, bring it to either location. Engine repairs, brake work, transmissions, air conditioning, power steering, and more. They can take care of it. Keep your vehicle on the road with the help of Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway and also on Pensacola Boulevard. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Trek Bicycle Store of Pensacola is the area's premier bicycle store and full-service repair shop for all makes and models. They specialize in top-notch customer service with the largest selection of e-bikes around. Trek Store has a full line of bike accessories and racks and can fit all riders from a child's first to seniors. Locally owned and operated by Robbie Mott, serving cyclists for over 20 years, you'll experience the best at Trek Bicycle Store of Pensacola, 701 East Cervantes Street, and online at trekstoregulfcoast.com.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is David Wayne, and I just want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Morning, Pensacola. Welcome back. John, are you responsible for this music? It is incredible.
Fabulous.
I am. Yes.
Yeah, man, you're awesome.
Great
I can listen
taste.
To this every day. Yeah, I do, actually. So, welcome back, Pensacola, to News Radio 92.3. This is John Peacock here with J.C. Costantino, filling in for the one and only Andrew McKay. J.C., we just got done listening for about 10 minutes with Craig Fair, the chief market strategist for Edward Jones. What'd you think?
You know, Craig is wonderful, and he has this great way of putting things in a very digestible manner so you can easily understand it and be able to share his thoughts with others. You know, it really made me kind of think about the financial psychology side of things and what makes people panic and how to prevent that. And, you know, when it's the scariest, that's when there's opportunities. And kind of, working your way through the weeds, so to speak. But love what he has to say.
Yeah, he certainly puts things in context a little bit, and it's really appreciated. He mentioned a little bit about the debt being an issue here in a couple of years, the tariffs. He mentioned that he's certainly worth watching, but he didn't think that was a huge issue that's going to negatively impact the economy. So overall, he was pretty optimistic about things, but reminding people that those dips and corrections do happen from time to time.
Yes, and he mentioned too this year that most people are probably not even aware of because they pass by so quickly. And, you know, I love his point of that Trump has a way of utilizing some of the things he says as a bargaining tool, going forward, and was not concerned about aspects of that. So very reassuring.
Yeah, he does have a way of doing that. And you're right, a 4% drop, 1-8% drop. We're currently in a 4% drop now. I think that does shock people a little bit. They hear, as he mentioned, a 9-day losing streak, and oh my gosh, how did Dow do that? And it's only down 4%, which doesn't sound much. But when you go from 45,000 of the Dow to 43,000 Dow, psychologically, as you mentioned, JC, that kind of gets to people sometimes, and they kind of tend to panic a little bit. But it's important to remember what's normal. It's kind of like hurricanes. You know, we don't like hurricanes here, but we know they're normal and they happen, and we know how to prepare for those, and we know what actions to take when they occur. So that's kind of similar to what Craig was referring to in the market. Just be ready and prepared, and take action when necessary.
Not panic.
So, yeah, don't panic for sure. This is John Peacock and JC Costantino filling in for the one and only Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.